This is the Flip Empire Show with Alex Pardo, episode 106.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Hey, how's it going, my friends? It is Alex Pardo, and I got exciting masterclass for you here today with Rick Ginn. And guys, before we jump into the podcast interview here with Rick, just want to give you guys a little bit of background. If you don't know who he is, got involved in real estate in 2004. He bought a bunch of rentals. He flipped properties. And by 2006, you know, he had quickly amassed a pretty large portfolio of properties. And you know, hurricanes hit 2005, 2006, and really set him back. You know, I think from 2009 through 12, he probably did over 100 short sales. And then once that started to kind of dry up in 2013, he really started focusing his efforts on wholesaling. And he ended up creating a direct mail system called the handwritten postcard system, which you guys have probably seen those handwritten postcards out there. Rick is actually the guy behind that. And, you know, but one of the things we're really going to talk about on today's episode that we haven't really covered in the past is probates. 2015, Rick decided to tackle probates, and now he's become like the go-to expert when it comes to how to invest in probates, how to close and get those deals done. And so I think you're really going to enjoy and get a lot of value out of this episode. And we also, you know, spend a good amount of time talking about the current state of the market and, you know, old school things that are not working as well as they used to, and what it takes to be successful in today's market, what is working in today's market. And so we kind of peel back the curtain on that. And also some commercial investing, you know, which that's also something that Rick is doing. So, guys, I think you're really going to enjoy this one. And without me kind of rambling on, let's just dive right into it. Mr. Rick Ginn, how's it going, my friend?
Great, Alex. How you doing?
I'm doing awesome, man. It's good to finally get you on, man. I know we were just talking before I hit the record here. And guys, just to kind of whet your appetite for what's to come, Rick is an active investor here in the South Florida market. He's been doing awesome for years. And he's really, over the course of the last, at least for me anyways, from my perspective, Rick, the last like 2-3 years, I think you've really, really made a name for yourself in the probate arena. And guys, that's one of the things that we're really going to be talking about on the show today is, you know, learning from Rick, the not only the benefits of probate investing, but what to do, what not to do. That's really an area of investing that I haven't really spent too much time on in the past in terms of, you know, talking about and providing content on the show. But Rick, man, before we get into the ins and outs of probates, I wish we would have hit the record before, because you and I were having a really good conversation about just where we're at in the market today. And so maybe if you can just, you know, kind of let people know where you are in your business right now. And then I'd like to really find out in this kind of market, what's been working for you, you know? So if you can kind of start with high level, how your business looks today.
Well, let me, I've been flipping houses since 2004. And this is actually, it's so fascinating to me because I've watched such the diversity from 04 to today. We've gone through so many extreme markets. I always say there's not much more you can really throw at me because it's just so dynamic. Here's the problem with what I have, what's going on today, Alex, is nobody's talking about the current state of the market. Like everything seems to be 6, 12 months, 2 years behind. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem, is nobody wants to talk about it because, you know, it's kind of an ugly truth what's going on right now. And the economies are eventually going to set everybody straight. And so here's what I do is I run my home flipping business. I got a lean staff of 3 people. I'm one of the 3. I don't have 15 people working for me because the overhead doesn't work for me. Everybody gets paid on a deal. So I have an acquisitions guy. I have a person that helps me with the marketing. And then I have basically I do all the marketing budget and we use VAs for all the follow up.
Yeah. Rick, you know what I love about what you just said, man, is if you would have talked to me 3-4 months ago, I had a team of 7, but it wasn't translating to more deals and more profits. In the last couple months, I've trimmed down from 7 to 4, and now we're doing more volume, more profits. So funny how that works. Everybody talks about scaling and building this big team, but it's not always necessary, man. Sometimes it can actually hurt you, you know?
No, and what you, I defined a long time ago is you always need to understand why you got into real estate. If you got in strictly for money, you're going to have problems. And that's one of the things I see right now, is because when the money runs out, the passion definitely dies, and then people go and do other things. So I have my home flipping business and I do it. Is it harder? Hell yes. Is it more competitive? Yes. Mm-hmm. But the one thing I'm exercising with my team, and this is like a bad word for investors, it's called patience.
Oh yeah.
Because if you're going to have a longevity in this business, and trust me, I made this mistake so many times, doing a deal doesn't mean it's profitable. So you have to have disciplines built in your business, what your buying model is, and you got to stick to it. Because I get more deals by being patient and following up, particularly in probates, because I get these people, they'll pay retail for a property, and 9 times out of 10, they don't have money, they go get a loan, mm-hmm. and I'm just patient. I'll let them waste 45 days of the seller's time, and then I'll swoop in with follow-up and go, listen, I'm ready to do that cash deal. We'll close it in 3 days. We're good to go. Now, this guy was going to pay $150, and he said, Rick, I know you offered me $120 if you could do $121. We take it at $121. You know, we make our whole selfie and we move on. I see investors making $3,000, $5,000.
It's painful.
Those are high risk. I mean, who would you buy an asset for $100,000 to make a 3% return?
Yeah, it makes no sense.
It's absolutely nuts. So what I can tell you is I'm still working on my home flipping business. Direct mail is probably one of the most upside down pieces of investing I see right now in single family homes, because the saturation level's through the roof.
It's so true.
So, you know, a long story short is, you know, I developed the handwritten postcard system. I used to get a 26% response rate. It was so creative. I used to get 100 messages and I'd take 2 to 3 days to call people back.
Wow.
These days today, just to let you know, I have a full-time person's job's nothing but to answer the phone live.
Uh-huh.
And just follow up relentlessly. It's expensive, but it's the difference maker in our business. 2 years ago, we just did voicemail.
Totally.
Now we have live people answering the phones. And by the way, I don't use Pat Live. I don't use any of these services because there's no real buy-in for them. And there's nothing like, customers aren't stupid anymore. They have a lot of choices. So you got to lock them down, get them going. So I have that business going. It's a lot more work. It's still profitable. But the one thing I can tell you is patience. And on more of a national level, I do commercial real estate investing. And we take the same attitude. Looking for motivated sellers is just another big zero behind it. I like that market because there's a lot more barriers to entry. And I'm comfortable there, although in Florida it's really tough and commercial, but I've learned to go across the United States and pair up with people across the country. And but you know, that's a 3 to 5 year play.
Yeah, it's a long term play. Right.
Yeah. And so it's like, here's the deal. At one point I used to own 29 single family homes. I got hit with 3 hurricanes from 05 to 06.
Ouch.
And I figured I was in shock with what happened with the cash flows and stuff. So I learned how to take that philosophy. If you can do one deal with 50, 100, 200 units.
Yeah, economies of scale.
To me, it's really hard any of you guys out there own 10, 15 rentals. My original plan was to own 10 rentals free and clear. And it didn't work out. Property management. So.
I know. And people talk about, you know, passive income and stuff. Well, if you've been a landlord, you know there's nothing passive about it.
It's nothing passive. So I find on commercial, it's just more of economies of scale.
Right.
And if you understand the financing dynamic, you can buy an asset. You can actually pay for offering price, which is really exciting. Get an undervalued asset, write the management, do some repairs. And then in 2 years, you can go back, refinance it, pull out $300,000 to $500,000 and still get cash flow on top of it.
It's exciting.
And
man,
once somebody showed me how to do that, I go, oh my God. So it encouraged me to get a team. You know, I kind of hire slow and, you know, fire, hire slow, fire fast. It's just, you got it. Whoever you hire, you better make sure they are tied to the bottom line. especially your acquisitions guy, because they're everything. And just to give you, I spent 6 months with my acquisition guy before I even let him kind of like go out on his own.
Yeah, it's training is so important. It really is. I mean, not only is making sure that you, that's exactly right, man. I think you hit the nail on the head, Rick, when you said hire slow, fire fast. I did the exact opposite when I started building my team 3 years ago, and I've been burned. And there's nothing more painful than spending a lot of time, energy, and resources training someone and then realizing 3-6 months down the road that they're not the right culture fit. It's not the right person. And so you really want to, like, you know, take your time and make sure that you're bringing on the right person. I mean, we could talk a whole nother, you know, we could do a whole nother podcast just on that one topic. But man, one of the things that you mentioned, Rick, and hopefully you don't mind us kind of pivoting here, that kind of intrigued me is the commercial side of what you have going on in your business. When you talk about commercial, are you focusing on multifamily? Are you doing retail? I mean, what side of commercial are you focused on?
Commercial specifically, I focus primarily on apartments.
Okay.
And high yielding cash flow deals that you can leverage the existing financing on. So without getting complicated, if you can do one commercial deal, it's the equivalent of doing like 50 single family homes.
Yeah.
So right. The problem with a guy like me is, you know, I get regular cash flow from my business. My original plan was to build a portfolio of rental houses. And I found out quickly how difficult the management piece was. And then you got 29 different roofs, 29 different plumbing, 29 different types of tenants. And I was like, this is crazy.
Not to mention, if you have one vacancy, you've lost 100% of your income.
Yeah. And you know, between the insurance factors and here's the difference between commercial and single family is no matter what you do, single family is always dependent on the retail market. Would you agree with that?
100%.
And commercial, it's 100% dependent on the cash flow.
On the income, yeah. How much income does the property produce?
Correct. So if you can control the net of the property, which is your job, which is, you know, increase income, reduce expenses, you can have a drastic effect. Just a 2% switch on a multi-million dollar property can make you an incredible – it can make you $250,000 with just – a couple changes. So it's no different. The only difference in commercial is they're more savvy. It's much more of a networking business. Mailers, in my opinion, they don't really work. I'm sure they work for someone, so I'm not here to knock it. But you can't just send out mass mailers because they're a little bit more shielded. So you have to learn how to network, particularly with commercial brokers, and learn their language. And you got to have some skin in the game because you got to get past the gatekeeper. And that's the primary difference I see with it. What I love about apartments is people always need a place to live.
Yep.
Rents can't go down. But at the end of the day, people always need a place. If you do a, say, like a shopping center, like, I don't know, around my area, I've seen shopping centers 5 years ago that were hustling and bustling, and now they're completely vacant.
Yeah,
like,
it's true.
Gone.
Yeah.
And then they're talking about demoing them and redoing it. So I've bought a few of those. And I've never gone wrong with the apartment buildings. And by the way, you can buy apartment buildings with little to none of your money. And I've actually done it. So I'm still learning it. I'm very studious. I have some people I'm working with. And it's fun. But it's a challenging commercial as well, too, now. I just bought a we just bought an entire commercial piece of land. We took it over, a guy backed out. The builders are chomping at the bit, and I learned like this little market. So I'm always going to do single family homes. I'm never going to change. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite ways, I've learned to really, when you talk about scaling a business, in my opinion, and listen, I'm not a guru. I don't do any of this stuff. There's only so far you can scale a residential business without bringing yourself an overhead.
Yeah, I agree.
Nobody wants to talk about it. Everybody's scale. You truly want to go scale, go get a 100-unit apartment complex. Maybe someone who went through probate or something like that because it exists in that market. Mm-hmm. And you can really win in that game. It's just there's different rules, different terminology. And commercials based on cash flow. How much does it produce? Nobody cares what the building's worth. Mm-hmm. And single family, it's always what the building's worth.
That's right.
Period.
And Rick, so, man, I think
like an example in Florida, you can see it. Like we have houses here and they rent for, say, $1,500. But the sale price, they're worth $400,000.
It's insane, yeah.
And so, like, people want to play that both game of the market. See, actually, apartment complex, you're going to laugh at this. It's actually much easier to analyze because I can plug it in a spreadsheet. Mm-hmm. And in 5 minutes, I have an answer if we're going to work with this person or not.
Yeah.
In residential, I got to hear the story. I got to know what's going on. You know,
right.
It's like,
right.
And then what is the current market trend going on? And for that, it kind of drives you a little bit nuts on that. So there's more due diligence in commercial, but if you've got to step out of your comfort zone, and like doing a $2 and $3 million deal scares the heck out of you. It's just another zero. I actually find the commercial easier on the entire negotiation process. I've had people beat me up over a $3,000 lot before. It's like, we spend months. I'm like, you know, and then I have someone who goes, listen, you know, we've had it in the family for 40 years. We're just kind of done with it.
Yeah.
And the neat thing about commercial is you can pay the ask price and work with it. It's not like
it still works.
No, that's the difference. Everybody beats you up in residential. I'm just like, and sometimes I tell my guy, I go, if the numbers work and you know it, just take it. I can't stand when people in real estate, say you get like a little old lady and she says like, you know, give me 50 grand for my house that's worth 150. You go, would you take 40? It's like, just take the offer on the table and run with it. I can't, you know, and that's what I teach with it. But the big picture, as far as I see in this market, particularly in residential, I honestly think people are putting way too much stock in direct mail. Direct mail works, but if I was starting out in this business, I wouldn't touch it in today's market. I see people, I have local competitors sending out 60,000 pieces a month. Mm, 60,000. Wow. Now, you know what the math is on it. Even if you do a postcard, you're looking at roughly 40 cents a piece.
Yeah. So even if they're getting better pricing just because of the volume, they're still spending 20 to 30 grand.
Yeah, and then you have to have the systems and the follow-up, and it's like,
yeah.
And then they're mailing to them like every 30 days. So that 60 turns into a 90, turns into 120,000 pieces, and at some point.
Yeah, you got the follow-up calls and everything. I mean, yeah.
Listen, direct mail, it's actually really simple. It's just, let's just sum it up this. There's too many people chasing too few deals.
That's right.
So
that's right.
I would be open to just as learning as much as you possibly can. But, you know, so you got to go back to some of the old school techniques, which I've been doing this a long time. And like my staff's kind of like, we're going to do what? I go, we're going to network. We pick up the phone and we talk to people. Now,
yeah.
Real estate agents aren't the best people to be talking with, but a lot of them deal with homeowners that need to sell the property. You just need to let the real estate agent know what's in with them. Lawyers, real estate agents, any type of brokers, mortgage brokers, they see deals that follow through. There's so many ways to do it outside of your traditional Craigslist stuff. I'm not a big online guy. I just, if you can talk to people, mm-hmm. You can make money in this business, and it's, you know,
totally. I mean, Rick, you and
you know,
we
talked about a little bit about cold calling. It's like, you've got to be open to the ways. So a lot of these require effort.
Yeah.
Why people like direct mail? Cause it's so sexy. Cause you just click a button, you just send out a mail, your phone rings. Honestly, if you and me could just do direct mail and we got the returns we did, say even a year ago.
Oh man.
It's all I do. It's all I do. It was so easy. I used to get a 26% response rate. It just,
you know what happens, Rick? I think you guys made that handwritten postcard so popular that now that 26% response rate is what?
It's a 0.25% at best.
Look at that. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a quarter. Right? But the thing, it was well past if mine came out or not. It doesn't matter. And I tell people, if you own the handwritten postcard system, just hold tight. I promise you it will come back.
For sure.
But it's really straightforward. So it's, you got to think a little bit outside the box on how you're going to do business. The traditional direct mail is just, to me, I just see, I mean, if you spend $5,000-$10,000 on it, like I hear, I mean, tell me, Alex, I listen to a lot of podcasts And I see people, you know, just grind it out 60 or 90 days. I would not start out doing direct mail in today's market.
And that's exactly right. I mean, when people come to me, especially like newbies that they don't have a lot of money to their name, you know, listen, to spend a couple thousand dollars on one campaign and not be consistent and follow through in 30 or 45 days, you know, you might get lucky and do a deal off that first campaign. But I don't know about you, Rick. I mean, 75% of our deals come from the follow-up, you know? So yeah, I think you're right, man. If you're getting started in this business, unless you have a big budget, you know, direct mail is still great. I mean, we still do deals from direct mail. The difference is that a couple of years ago, Rick, we'd spend $1,000-$1,500 on a campaign and we'd pop off a, you know, $10,000-$15,000 deal. Now I got to spend like $5,000 to get a $20,000 or $25,000 deal. So it's still a positive ROI. We just have to spend a lot more money on that campaign and process a lot more leads.
Well, let me give me some numbers from my recent one. I just did a targeted mailing, but I still always do direct mail because I can pull a deal or two out of it. But on average, I am sending out 10,000 to 15,000 units to get one deal.
Wow. So yeah, now, so that's pretty close to me.
When I started, it was 500 to 700 pieces, and I'd get 2 to 3 deals off that alone. So it's like, you know, we can't go back in time. You just kind of learn from it, and as market cycles changes, you've got to adapt. But if I'm starting out, I'm going old school techniques. I'm not going to tell you where to go knock on doors, but it's a tried and true method. Cold calling's done.
Why not? I mean, yeah, we were. Yeah, no, it's. I think this is, you know, I've talked, Rick, over the course of the last 3 to 6 months. I've been in contact with a lot of high level people like yourself, and that's the common denominator amongst in different markets across the country is you got to pound the pavement. You know, you got to pick up the phone, have conversations, and people treat the phone like a cactus, you know, because I think there's a fear element of cold calling. You're knocking on a door. And, you know, we were talking about it. We just closed a deal last week. We made $58,300. We never sent a person a direct mail piece. It was a cold call. That's all it was. And we just happened to be there at the right time. I think the problem, Rick, and I don't know if we can get into a little bit of the networking stuff, is that it requires a lot of effort and people just don't want to do it.
No, and here's the problem is we've gone through an amazing period of investing. Would you say in the last 3 to 4 years it's been amazing?
For sure, yeah.
Okay, so we're all complacent. We've got lazy. And when you start making, you know, I've made 6-figure paychecks just by clicking a button. You start to get spoiled. And here's the reality of it, Alex, is everybody claims to be a millionaire. Everyone's killing it. Everybody's living the laptop's lifestyle. I've been doing this 10 years plus. That's such a BS crap. It's like I grind it out. I have days like I'm on top of the world. And the other days I'm like, what am I doing?
You and I both.
It's the life of an entrepreneur. This over glorification of everyone's got a coaching program. Listen, I'm not here to knock anyone. I'm just saying, like, I love Gary Vaynerchuk. If you ever know his story, but he says it best. That guy sat and grind 10 years and created a incredible business from his family's wine business. Mm-hmm. He'd give one piece of advice till after 10 years. When he left that business.
That's right. He talks about how he took that wine business from a $3 million business to a $60 million business before he gave any business advice at all.
Yeah. So like this whole, everyone's gotten these sexy terms with real estate and it drives, you know, 6 figures a month. Really? Mm-hmm. Listen, I can tell you, I only know 2 people in this entire country for sure that actually do that. That's a small number. And listen, I've had 6-figure months. Just because I have 1 or 2, I don't go around and claim I do it all year round.
Right.
And I find it to funnel like coaching programs. Listen, if you go out and get a mentor, I think it's actually a great idea because that's how I got started. But be very careful because a 6-figure a month is you have to have one hell of an operation to get it up and running. And any startup business, I don't care what it is it takes time to build it up, get it producing revenue and getting a system set up. Mm-hmm. And everyone's overnight success. We just to say, listen, just grind through, get your first deal, and then we'll go from there. We'll take some money. You spend a little bit of money on marketing and you kind of go from there. Because as with each deal, your skill set improves. But getting back to the picture is everyone's decided they're going to be a millionaire overnight. Everyone's posting checks. It's, you know, I like working on real estate. So my advice to you, if you really want to teach other people how to do it, go up and build a giant portfolio of properties and document what you do. And then after 5 years, if you're killing it and you got property everywhere, go for it if that's your passion. But please don't do it after 6 months, a year, even a year or two, because you have not experienced everything that's going to happen in this business. And there's a lot of stuff. After 10 years, I've had lawsuits, hurricanes. I got hit with 3 hurricanes, massive property increases.
Wow, man.
I had properties I couldn't insure. Hell, I even got foreclosed on, Alex.
Mm-hmm.
Big whoopee deal. I've never signed a personal mortgage other than my own house. And I learned a valuable lesson about how business works on it. So it's as soon as you think you're there, you got to come back to reality.
Life hits
you. So we've had a disengagement of what the real market is and you know, what's kind of going on right now. So everybody's on this cloud nine and you or me are having this hard conversation. You got to grind. You got to suck it up. You have got to go work. Let me tell you, I have some hard conversations. Some of my conversations with my acquisitions people,
mm-hmm.
you got to go back and sharpen your skills. Like we're getting them courses. We're doing everything we can to deal with objections and how can we close? How can we make this happen? And we want to be perfectly legal and compliant in everything we do. And I see a lot of crazy stuff going on.
Right.
The bottom line is if you want to last in this business, do it right and do what your competitor is not willing to do.
Yeah. And let me add to that, man. One last point is, you know, you're listening in right now. Ask yourself if you're getting the results that you want. If you're not, look at yourself in the mirror, roll up your sleeves and dive into the trenches. You know, people now, I don't know if you'd agree with this, Rick, is that, you know, people expect easy money and they don't want to do the work required, you know, and maybe it's just, you know, how people position the marketing that goes on in our business and push button profits and all this kind of stuff, especially in this kind of market. You know, if you really want an automated business, quote unquote, you're going to have to get in there, grind it out, roll up your sleeves and build up the team, the systems, the infrastructure. And even then it's not 100% automated, you know?
Yeah. So let me give you a little example. One of my guys is working on a current probate deal that we got in. The guy flew in town. We've been working on this one for months. And so I call him and I kind of prepare him for difficult ones. And I talk to my team and he says, listen, there's like four other, he got there. He goes, there's like three realtors and four investors here.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, what do I do? I've never, and we talk about the competitiveness market. You know, I said, listen, go up there, introduce yourself. Let them know you've spoke to them to a dozen times on the phone. Let them know what you've already helped them out with. But listen, I'm not part of this charade, this circus. I want to help you. Here's my card. Please give me a call when you settle down to make a decision. I go and walk out of there.
Boom, love it.
And he's just like, are you kidding me? I can't walk away. I go, you will never win in that environment. Mm-hmm. It's a loose proposition. I go, just let him do it. If he doesn't call you in 3 or 4 hours, go back and show up there in the evening.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, if you just take that little tip, you will never win in a bidding war as an investor.
That's a great tip, man.
And you know what's worse? You cannot compete
on price
with a real estate agent when you're sitting there because it's completely different terms. So let the smoke settle. I can tell you this. If you're first there, you want to make sure you're always last in today's market because you want to follow up. And I'm all about solving problems. Most people who sell me, particularly on probate, want to solve a problem. The houses are usually run down or there's an emotional connection. And I have people that can't walk in the house without crying and they just want to liquidate the asset with the least amount of hassle. So when they tell me that and I listen to them, I know a real estate agent can't offer what I can, which is I will cut to the chase. I'll give you a fair price and there'll be no drama. The real estate agent goes, so if I offer 120 and they offer 150, which was our difference on this, 150 by the time you're done with commissions and the house inspections, and it's never going to qualify for an FHA and it's that type of house. And we just kind of go back to it. And that's what we do. But you know, we're creative. I'm aggressive, Alex. Don't pretend me. I have the guy go around. I go, go get a lunch, go get a soda, go get a cup of coffee, and go back there and wait till they're all done. I don't. If you got to stalk them on the corner, just wait and go back and remind them how you want to help them, yeah. Especially flown in from out of town. But so what do you do when you show up and there's five people sitting at the doorstep? It happens all the time. Mm-hmm. I can tell you it happens 80% of the time now on my deals.
Yeah.
No, even when we say, is anybody else going to be there? They're like, no. So here's another tip. If I have a 12 o'clock appointment with a hot seller, I show up at 11:15 and just parade around the neighborhood.
I like it. Yep.
So it's like if someone's coming out, I already know what I'm going to be dealing with. You know, you've got to do intel. Go on social media. Try to find out what these people does. Find out if they have kids, if they have a family.
Bingo.
Just connect. Stop doing what the average Joe does and
there
go
you
out.
Go.
Get it. You're not going to get every one of them. But when they see how much effort you put into it, most people buy from me, not because I have the highest price. It's like, Rick, you get me, you understand. And that's what I try to teach my acquisitions people.
Because
actually, Alex, at the end of the day, I actually give – I'm not going to use file. I give a crap about these people. Like when I'm at the grocery store, I see them. People got to do – that guy solved the biggest problem in my life. My mom's house was a disaster. My wife was a train wreck, and he just bought it almost sight unseen, and he helped us get all the stuff out of there. And so here's another tip for you. In the current market, go in and solve problems that other people won't. Mm-hmm. Real estate agents don't want to deal with – like we constantly – listen, a moving truck's almost standard procedure in our business now. We go out. We get a U-Haul truck. We'll reimburse them. I don't want to be liable for it, but we find ways. We do liquidations. You know, whatever we have to do,
right.
We're going to make it happen. So I'm just telling you, solve problems and do what your other competitors aren't willing to do.
Yeah.
In probate in particular, there's so much stuff in the house, 9 times out of 10, that we connect with local vendors that will help them do like estate sales.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe find them an extra $5,000 just in the estate stuff. I'm in real estate. I learned a long time ago. Guys, don't ever run your own estate sale. It will... You're going to disappoint your seller, and you're going to really be disappointing your time. And I didn't get out there to sit out there on Saturday and do a garage sale.
Right. Well, Rick, let me do this, man. I mean, this has been fascinating conversation. I love the direction that this has gone in. I don't want to leave people hanging as far as the probate stuff is concerned, but I want to also be respectful of your time. Do you have another maybe 5-10 minutes? I'd like to kind of dive into, obviously, we can't cover all the ins and outs of probates in 5-10 minutes. Of course not. There's people that go to 3-day, you know, seminars for just probate stuff. So, but maybe if we can kind of do this, let me know how this sounds, man. If we can talk about what are some of the common mistakes people make with probates, and then what are some of the things that you're doing in your business to help you get and close a lot of these probate deals?
Okay. Well, probates, I waited to do probates 10 years in investing, and probably one of my biggest mistakes ever. Probates are my most profitable, most motivated deals. Now, I will tell you this. If you're going to do probates, be sincere about it. If you've ever dealt with death in your family or anything like that, treat people as you would want to be treated. So everything that I teach, preach, and do in my business, I would pretend as if I was going to my mother's house dealing with the death of a loved one. So if you understand that principle, you'll do very well in probates. If you want to run people over, like the biggest – here's the number one mistake. People go and get third-party lists. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah, like they go out and they will buy a list.
You get this magical company that will download for anywhere from $100 to $300 a month per county and give you this magical list, and you have a mailing list. Here's the reality of it. It's dated information. It's usually bad. And they're selling all the exact same information to all your competitors.
Yeah.
You have no competitive advantage, and it usually sucks. You know why? Because I used it for 4 months. I didn't get one deal. You know what changed in my business? I decided to go down to the courthouse and figure out what is a probate lead and how to get it. And without getting into this, I have a simple course through Priority Probate System to teach you how to do it, but listen, you don't even need me. Just go to your local courthouse. You'll have an information desk and ask, how can I get information on people that have filed for probate? And 9 times out of 10, they'll sit there and walk you through it.
Yeah.
That's how I did it. I just did it. I used my local area. Do it in your backyard. Go get that. So here's the secret with probate. A lot of people think, well, you need to wait with probate because, you know, somebody just died. You got to listen. Most people filing for probate, they've already been through the funeral. They've met with the lawyer. They're wrapping up affairs. Once that probate filing has hit, it means they've reached out to their local lawyer. We need to wrap up, the affairs of the deceased. That's when you want to run and go. I was told to wait like 30 to 90 days before you do it. No. Speed kills in probate, and I know that's a terrible terminology. But so if I get a probate lead on Monday, we download it in our spreadsheet, we automate a mail merge, and you can do this with any basic Microsoft, you know, type of tool. We print them, and they're in the – we take them to the post office for speed, and usually in a day or two, if it's local, it's delivered to who's ever in charge of the probate. We're called personal representative, but it might be executor depending on what state you're in. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And they're like, hey, no, I'm going to tell you, you will get chewed out occasionally. Listen, if you haven't done direct mail and gotten chewed out, you're not.
Yeah, you're not doing enough direct mail.
Here's the difference is we're very apologetic. We take them off the list and we move on. Now, I'm all about cold calling, Alex, but cold calling does not – I'm just not a big cold caller for probate because I've tested at my local market. We still get more deals. If you can warm it up with a letter and just get some sort of engagement. Once you have the engagement – then the follow through is everything. But here's it. Go get the lead yourself. So if you get a lead on Monday and you've never done this before, just handwrite a letter. There's a million templates out there. I have them for you, but I'd send a letter, said I'm interested in buying, 123 USA Street.
Okay. Please. So you're not sending out one of these condolence type letters where you're referencing the passing of a loved or family member. You're just,
I test it all the time. And here's the secret. Okay. It doesn't matter. Do they think a stranger is being sincere about like the death of someone they don't know?
True.
So I've done it with or without, honestly, just a straight up, we buy houses in the area. And for the record, I specialize in probates. I'm very familiar with them, and I work with a team with that. Now, you're saying, Rick, I just started in the business, and you're like, you're not lying, but I teach you how to recruit a team. A team would be a title company, a local realtor if you're new to the business. So like when you call and get a question, I thought I had to wait 6 months to sell the probate. Well, I tell you what, let me check with my team, particularly the lawyer we work with, and see what I can do. Can I go ahead and get the address and can I look at the house? The idea is all about engagement. And when I did probates, I swear to God, Alex, I knew nothing about it. And I go, I'm a really good marketer. And I'd get all these questions like, I go, I don't know. And I would go to my title company, which had a lawyer on staff. And we would sit down and just keep. So we build like our own little FAQ. And after we got really good at it, I go, man, I'm really solving people's problems. Because 9 times out of 10, they recruit a realtor, and I'm not knocking on realtors, but they don't know the answers to them, and they don't know how to get the answers to them.
Yeah.
So I teach you how to recruit a team. It basically works with you because if you have a closing, they make money on it, and everybody wins. So you're not going to know every answers. I'm not a lawyer. I don't want to be a lawyer. I want to be a real estate investor. So I'd go in and just solve the absolute problem. So go get your own leads. Make the letter as simple as humanly possible, stop worrying about what's on it, and just tell them you're interested in the house. I specialize in probates. Call me. I'm very flexible. I'll work with you. I'm local. The letter can be as simple as that, handwritten. And then here's the other thing is when they call you, here's the second biggest mistake past the list. Investors try to run them over with price. Now, you're dealing with somebody who just passed away. Do you think you should go like this? Okay, Alex, I appreciate the phone call. If I paid you all cash and closed quickly, what's the best price you'd do?
Yeah.
Can't you do any better than that? Dude, they're just going to hang up on you every time.
Right.
When we get our first engagement, we never even talk about price. You know what? We're just interested in looking at the house, getting access to the house, and getting – because once I can get – the house and they go, okay, the keys are under the mat, it's over here. I start to gain confidence and control and they go, man, I like this guy. They're doing everything we do. So if we have an appointment at 5 o'clock, we're there at 4:30. We're very respectful and we work through it. Most of my probates are from people out of state. So what I guess what I'm saying on that is stop beating them up on price. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, we don't even get to price till about the fourth or fifth contact.
Okay. So you recommend setting up the appointment and going to see the house to meet with them if they're in town or not without before absolutely. Even getting to price.
Because if you get an argument, listen, it doesn't matter what the price is. Am I correct? I mean, it does. But most 80% of the probates we buy are have severe neglect or they're extremely outdated. Because usually the person has health issues that passed away. And so that becomes, you know, they go, okay, well, Rick, I saw it. So here's a typical, saw it's worth $200,000 on Zillow. Oh, maybe. I go, you know what? It's hard for me to buy a house that I can't see. You wouldn't buy a car you couldn't look at and drive. And they go, yeah, I agree.
And most investors I like that. Go like,
okay, it's $200,000. Okay, we'll give you $170,000. And you have, I mean, I've seen train wrecks, but then we can start to kind of break down the pricing and just, but what I'm really, you know what, that getting repairs on a house is really simple, Alex. It's after a while you get really good at it. What I'm going to do is kind of get the backstory. Probate, just to let you guys know, always has a story. When people pass away, stuff builds up and comes to the top. Yeah. And it'll all come out in there. And you have to be somewhat of a therapist, a problem solver. And you have to be a really good person to listen to. So the biggest thing is I don't tackle price because it's never an obstacle. Here's the bottom line. 9 times out of 10, they want to liquidate the house and want to get rid of the bills and move on.
Yeah.
And that's it. Just listen to them, beating them up on price and just continually. Rick, well, how am I going to get down to the courthouse? I don't care. You know what? We talked about working in this business. This isn't a laptop business. Get good at it, write a manual, and then pay someone to do it for you.
There you go.
That's what you do. And then when you get very advanced, you can actually learn how to work with local lawyers, some title companies. They'll actually get you this real-time information. But it takes a special relationship to do that stuff. Mm-hmm. Years in the making, all of which I've done. But I'm going to tell you what, Alex, I went down to the courthouse 3 years ago and did it myself. Like, because I didn't understand it. And if I don't understand it, how the hell am I going to teach it to anybody?
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
And dude, that's what you need to do. And I will tell you this right now. And so we talk about probates in our current market. Let's talk about that real quick. Here's the difference. I used to do 2 to 5 probates every month. It was so easy with the direct mail. The difference now is the phone calls have gone down. The competition's gone up. My biggest competitor right now, believe it or not, are real estate agents. Mm. And don't ever talk negative about the real estate agent because it doesn't put you in a good light, just like you talking about other investors. You just emphasize what you can do and what you can do above them. But the key is we follow up. So when somebody lists the house, we still follow up because I can tell you what, I know the house is beat up. I know it's going to get torn up on inspections and they're not going to get the net price when they're all said and done after the closed cost and the 6%. And every now and then we get a deal like this. I'm just tired of dealing with this. She's had it on the market for 2 months. We've gone through ridiculous inspections. We're tired of it. Most of the stuff going on. And by the way, I don't do anything on MLS. It makes no sense to me. I did it when there were short sales. Most of the stuff on MLS is being overpriced right now. Now, if you have somebody that's in a financial dire situation, eventually they have to sell that house. So probate is no different. We just follow up on every one of them. And our follow-up is a phone call from that point on because I want to kind of get quick answers. And, you know, sending mail at that point, it's a little bit relevant. So we go to the courthouse. We send out a simple mail piece. Don't complicate it. We answer the phones live if you can. If not, call them back right away. And then we don't talk about price. Get an appointment. Build rapport. And just work a win-win situation for everybody involved. It's really, you know, there's more involved than that, but it's that simple. So if I've never done probates before, I would start them because the probate, you can do probates for under, in most small markets, under $1,000 per year, working 70, 80 hours a week. And all you need is one deal in 12 months.
Yeah.
All you need is a cell phone and a pen and pad and your ability to go to your local courthouse and do this. It's so simple, Alex. Now, when I first started doing probates, my average was around $22,000 to $25,000, $6,000. We're now up in the mid 30s.
That's awesome, man. That's huge.
So you know, when you start, give it 12 months, and I almost guarantee you it will blow you away. Here's the problem. Everybody wants it in 2 weeks. Hey, guess what, guys? I've 2 or 3 months and never got a probate deal, and then I get 3 or 4 right around the corner.
Yeah. So and most people, they quit, man. They try it out. They send out a campaign. They don't get a deal, and they say, oh, this doesn't work, you know?
Yeah. So the last thing is, there's a lot of people teaching around the country about cold calling on probates, and I just, like, I know who I am as a person, Rick Ginn. Rick Ginn's never getting on the phone and calling somebody after they died. It's not me. Now, if you want to hire someone else to do it, or maybe do it in another market, I just can't do it in my backyard. I'm not saying it's wrong, but we're talking about current trends. That's a big one. Mm-hmm. And you get some really, really upset people. You get more people upset than are happy to hear from you.
For sure. For sure. So, and either way, you got to have thick skin, whether you decide to do it or not. Even with Maine, no, like you said,
I agree with that. So I just ask, don't get in a confrontation. If you decide to go that route, be highly respectful. And if they say, you know, get me off your list, get them off your list. Yep. And that's it. But here's the problem. Don't wait 10 years to do rates like I did. I'm telling you, the phone, just to let you know, we do about 400 or 500 mailers. Now, I'm in a much smaller market than you are. 400 or 500 mailers, and that's with all the heirs and everything. And we get about 20 to 25 calls a month. Okay. And those are pretty good numbers. You know, I don't even know what the stats on that, but they're really good numbers for us.
Yeah. Rick, have you ever tested mailing to the actual probate attorney and not just the personal representative?
I have, and I haven't had good results. I can tell you this. We talk about current trends. Probably the most effective thing I'm doing now is if you can build relationships with specifically probate lawyers mm-hmm. that actually specialize in that law. Oh, I tell you right there, you could do a $5,000 course just on that alone. It's unbelievable. It's so simple. You just connect with them. You talk to them. I brought them in a few of my deals when I need help. And then once they see you're for real and you're close on them, they just give you the golden ticket. They go, listen, the family's fighting. They want 90,000. Can you do 90,000?
Wow, that's huge.
And then you just kind of do the numbers. And it took me years to get to that level. And now what we're doing is trying to call, set up appointments. But, you know, sometimes you got to do things like, I actually have to show up and meet these people in like suits, because most lawyers, they wear a suit. I'm a flip-flop shorts kind of guy, mm-hmm. so it kind of sucks, but you got to take one for the team and do it. So my team sets me up with these high-level appointments, and then I meet with them, and I say, listen, when this comes up, if you could give me a call, and then we'll try to trade some business out, and when we get the shot to do one deal, but a lot of times, most of the time, by the guys, when the probate lawyer is calling you, is he's got sometimes $5,000, $7,000, $9,000 in fees outstanding. The family doesn't have the money to pay for it. We need to sell that asset so he can collect his fees. So he's highly motivated to get someone to move, because he doesn't really care what it sells for. He just knows Rick will give him a fair price, and I've never had a problem with this guy. Mm-hmm. So let me meet somebody I know versus somebody I have no idea who you are. Yeah, and in most towns, there's 3 to 5. You got a lot more in Miami, and they're very, very simple. Google search and start them out with a letter and just come up with a simple campaign. Do a letter, do a LinkedIn campaign, and then just set an appointment to try to meet with them. And what I found out is that the ones that are really good, they're doing 10 plus probates per month, and almost all of them are being sold. Oh my God. Like, you could cut the mailers out and do everything with it, but like the light bulb went off in my head. But I will tell you, we talk about long-term. It is a long-term approach. You have to really work at it and establish yourself. So say you're at a closing table and there's an attorney there. I ask them, do you ever deal with probates? And you start having a conversation and you share a cup of coffee after the closing. That's the time to go in and kind of proposition them. Like, do you work with any colleagues that do probates or anybody you can refer me to? You see, I close on properties here. I'm just looking to help more people out. And that conversation alone, I can't tell you how many deals I get from that. And we talk about it. It's actually free. You just have to work on it, because it's they got to see you're sincere, you're a good businessman, and you'll do exactly what you say, and you're very fair. And that's right. All they're looking for. They don't want to deal with guys completely off the street. If you've ever dealt with an attorney you've never done business with and they're representing the other side, they usually kind of – they'll kick the crap out of you. And get a relationship like this, you can avoid all that. So here's the golden nugget. Just go out and network with people who do probate, attorneys in your area, and stick with it. And I promise you, if you can get in the door with them, they're all connected in selling these properties. That's now, awesome. Sometimes they go, well, I already have realtors. Go, well, listen, some of the houses don't really qualify for realtors. They won't get financing. Those type of houses, you'll need a cash buyer, and I'm the perfect fit. So we've learned every objection they can throw at us. Your goal is just to get the appointment just like you get with a motivated seller. But here's the key. If you get it once, you can get 9, 10, 12 deals a year just from that one person. What's that worth to you?
Yes. It could be 6-7 figures easily.
It's nuts. I'm telling you right now, it's like I probably shouldn't even let you share all this, but it's really that simple. I hate to tell you that. Just if you're brand new, make sure you work with somebody that can help you have the ability to close. Oh, and here's the last question I always get on probates. Hey, Rick, can you actually assign a probate? Yes, you can. I do it all the time. I do it all the time. Now, not every one of them you can, because sometimes you have some legal stuff going on there. But there's so many ways to do it, because here's the beauty of probate. I know if I get a probate deal, because I work with people all over the country, if it's a probate, I know it's going to be a good deal, and it's just a matter of, you know, can we satisfy what they need? Because think about most probates. They're all outdated. They need work. And guess what? 98% of them are vacant. So that's like an investor's dream, right?
Yeah.
I can do whatever I want with the probate. I can close on it. I can rent it. And by the way, you can do whatever you want with the probate, whatever fits your needs. That's why I love them so much. And I will tell you this. So if we have a conversation in 10 years, Alex, and jump forward, just make sure you're doing probates, because it doesn't matter.
Well,
I probates from the 80s. He has one of the biggest portfolios. And you know what really keyed me off on probates? He says they're the only deals I do. Like, he goes, they make so much sense. I go, oh, my God. Yeah, and I started from scratch 6 months. I didn't make a dime. And what I did is I documented my journey. I showed all the – I wound up doing, I think, 26 probates in a row. And I go, man – and everybody's like, hey, Rick, how do you do probates? How do you do probates? I go, I'm not a guru, man. I just do this stuff. So I came up with a really, really simple product called Priority Probate System. It sells for $97. And I've had people make $100,000 just by implementing this basic system. But it's actually – it's kind of common sense though, Alex. I'm like, I don't want to tell you I have this magic. I put a system together and I showed you how to actually automate it. Mm-hmm. And it's really cool. You don't need Podio.
Yeah.
You don't need Zoho, any of that stuff.
You just got to be sincere. You got to want to help people, and you got to go out there and do it, and you're going to learn. So if people, Rick, if we haven't talked about this, and guys, this isn't an affiliate link or anything. I don't get anything for recommending this, but obviously Rick knows his stuff when it comes to probates. If you guys want to just accelerate the learning curve and you want to focus on probates, Rick, where can, and again, man, I appreciate everything you've shared, all the knowledge and just, you know, the nuggets that you've dropped here, really, really appreciate it, man. I know people do as well. Where can people connect with you and find out more about, I know you mentioned it's called Priority Probate System, right?
Yeah, it's real simple. You just go to probaterick.com, and it will walk you through. You get a little presentation there, and it shows you how I documented my journey and why I enjoy doing probate so much. And don't wait 10 years like I did. So just go to probaterick.com. And for those of you who want to reach out on, I have a Facebook page. It's Flip with Rick. I have a lot of people who share probate questions or concerns they have come up. And I do some simple like 10, 15 minute trainings. Uh-huh. As I said, listen, $97, you agree, Alex, nobody gets killed for that.
It's a no-brainer.
Walk away with some golden information, but here's the bottom line. If you're listening to this, if you're just getting started, or you've been doing this business 25 years, if you are not routinely chasing down probates, you are leaving so much money on the table, I can't even begin to tell you how much.
Yeah. Awesome.
I'm telling you right now, it's like, it doesn't matter if you're in Miami, San Francisco, the key is, if you could do one probate in 12 months and not kill yourself doing it, would it be worth your time?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
And that's cool, it. So that's what I walked away with. So I will do probates. And here's the best thing is, nothing really changes in probates. It's going to be the same in 20 years from now. Maybe a little more technologically advanced, but unfortunately, people pass away. It's a fact of life. Mm-hmm. And it's just a life event. And the idea is, we're not there to take advantage of people. Quite the opposite. I tell people I'm helped there to solve problems. I've dealt with suicides. I've dealt with children's death. I mean, stuff that just, like, man, when the investor starts bawling, like, it's real. And I want to help people out. And that's why I like probate. It brings the human element. Like, so when we go in these other environments, we're all bidding and stuff. It's like, what will you take? What's the cheapest price? Honestly, in probate, if you can solve their needs, you will usually get the best deal possible. And they'll tell you, this guy offered me $8,000 more. I just like you more and I feel better. And my mom would want to do a deal with someone like you. I'm like, God, man, you just gave me goosebumps. And that's why I love this business. So I can talk about probates investing all day long. So
no, man, I can tell the passion. No, yeah, man, I think that's it, man. No, I'm sorry. You go ahead.
If you have any questions, because I try to answer as much as I can. I do have a VA that helps me with some of my social media so I can answer it. But my Flip with Rick Facebook pages, and I get a lot of people. We share information, and that's the key. And so if you got a probate and say you're doing one in Minnesota and you've never done it before, there's an opportunity where we can walk through it. Because here's the problem is, I don't want people to buy a probate program, either mine or someone else's, while you have a probate under contract. That's not the right way to start figuring out how to do a probate. Mm-hmm. So if you're in that situation, either reach out to me, go to Alex, or work with somebody, because you need to help that person and you can still make plenty of money doing it. But don't take the course when you have something under contract. It's kind of too late at that point, in my opinion. Like, and I get that all the time. I'm like, no. You can't. It's like getting the math test and then just like trying to read chapters 1 through 4. It's like, this stuff's got to sink in and soak in a while. So either way, reach out, get help. But for God's sakes, get started in probates. I waited 10 years to do it, and it's probably my biggest mistake in real estate investing to date. But it's correctable. So that's my lesson for the today. So
love it, man. Rick, again, really, really appreciate the time, man. You need anything, reach out to me. And again, thank you for, I loved this particular episode and our conversation, especially, I know we kind of pivoted and we went into commercial a little bit, and I think this is all valuable information. I just want to really encourage you. Don't get overwhelmed if you've never done a probate deal, if you're interested in commercial, if you don't know your market. Start, pick one thing that Rick shared here today, and speed of implementation, put it to action, and that's when you're going to start to see results. Don't try to implement 5-6 different things at one time. Just pick one or two things and take action on that, and if you're consistent, you're going to start to see results. All right, so Rick, again, thank you, man. I know we'll be in contact. And guys, be on the lookout for this Thursday's Q&A show. Look forward to connecting with you then.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.